From Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And while Jesus was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away." Not the finest hour of one of the 12. Each of these meditations that I come up with and these thoughts that go together are entitled in some way, sometimes after the fact and for purposes of putting a title on the website. Today's thoughts have a very precise and specific title, and it is this: Some Good May Come From This. Some good may come from this. As opposed to, certainly good will come from this, or even compensatory good will come. Not necessarily, because this can be a variety of things. And though good may come, it may not be worth it in the end, except perhaps in deep retrospect and after great thought. I've noticed as of late that when I think about the people in my life, the people that are important to me and the people with whom I live and work, as I get older, the losses start outnumbering the gains. One way of measuring that, we've had 4 funerals in the last year. That's a lot. People have even started saying things to me like, "You know, you really do a good funeral." I guess that's better than being known as one who does a really lousy one. Of course, if you're the best officiant of funerals in the country, what that means is that Jeannie will have to find the second best funeral officiant in the country when it's my turn, I guess. I don't know. The point is, after 30 years of doing this, you develop a knack for stuff like that. But in point of fact, we all do. We all develop a knack for dealing with loss and for coping with trouble, because it's just happened more than once now. And though we would never say that the good that comes from this, if it does, compensates for the loss, there is some good that comes from this. And the good is empathy. No one knows how to help another through and provide safe passage than one who's been there. We are all living testimonies to people who have, if we had been told ahead of what happened to us years ago that that was going to happen, we would have said, "I couldn't survive that. I could never get through it." And yet we did. And in so doing, we've learned a few things. We learn to live through loss. And maybe even through a sense of empathy, understand the losses that others experience more readily than we might otherwise. And I think maybe even develop, now that halftime is over for most of us, a sense of greater appreciation for the value of every day, in and of itself, even less concerned with what specific benefit the day might bring. The day in and of itself has value, and a greater sense of empathy and appreciation. Some good may come from this. So far, I've largely been talking about events that happen to us from around us, the experience of loss in our lives. We are also capable of bringing trouble upon ourselves. I mean, who hasn't found themselves in the midst of a circular firing squad, taking out your own foot, essentially? We make mistakes. Our lives are characterized, at least in part, by personal failure. Sometimes when you're not even looking for it or even see it coming. I recall now more than 30 years ago being a young intern candidate. In my ministerial training, we were required to do a year's worth of internship time at a substantially large parish. And only in retrospect did I learn that when internships and internship placements were occurring, I was one of the leading draft choices for some of the bigger churches. And I wound up in a church in suburban Chicago of about 1,000 members, which is a really big church. 30 days after I became the intern pastor there, the senior pastor resigned. And then it fell to me to keep the wheels on. I thought, put me in, coach. I can do this. And for that year, I was able to keep the wheels on. The church didn't thrive. It didn't fall apart. We maintained what we were. And on the basis of that experience, the powers that be in the denomination found a first church for me, much larger than anybody in my class. Put me in, coach, 400 members or so. After about 6 years of which, it became clear to them and to me that what's required in a church of that type, in the way of tending to details and minding business and administration, what's required versus my skill set and interest were becoming more and more incompatible. So then, by mutual agreement, we needed to part company, which required the intervention of a denominational official. It turns out that one of the denominational officials involved in that, the guy that left 30 days after I became an intern pastor, who had remained a good friend of mine, and helped me land on my feet in a church where I began a ministry pretty much exactly like this ministry, and which has continued in this way and of this style for almost 25 years. Some good may come from this. And it wasn't the good that I anticipated as a top draft choice, as someone moving into a big church. Quite different. And it's only through a rather painful process of self-awareness do we understand the good that can come, even from pretty dramatic failure. Self-awareness helps us understand the gifts we have and appreciate the gifts that others have to do the things that we cannot. That experience has certainly given me a greater level of appreciation for my colleagues in the presbytery that are pastors in larger churches and lead, even in ways that I would not, but in ways, obviously, that is needed. Some good may come from this. Empathy, tolerance, self-awareness. And we learn this at moments of high drama. But we can carry those learnings even day to day. I think of the moment of high drama just after Jesus finishes praying in the garden and Judas betrays him. This is part of an orchestrated process. And as God watches this play out for his one and only Son, God himself experiences a great deal of empathy, a great deal of pain for what humans can experience and put each other through, and also a great deal of self-awareness. For God, orchestrating the process and using Judas as a key player, is convinced and then makes happen what we believe by faith. Ultimate good does come from this. Well, that's the pronouncement and the reality from which we draw daily energy. First thing I do upon waking in the morning, before feet hit the floor, is take a blood pressure pill. Kind of settles my day down. It's what I need to do because of who I am. Well, it occurs to me that a spiritual blood pressure pill, the kind of thing that keeps our faith at least alive enough to grow when it needs to, a simple pill of that type involves the exchange that is from our ancient tradition on Easter Sunday. The ancient tradition of greeting on Easter Sunday is when people encounter one another, they say, "The Lord is risen," and the response is, "He is risen indeed." It occurs to me that upon arising each day, and maybe after you take the blood pressure pill, a little recitation of, "The Lord is risen, He is risen indeed," means that that's the source of some good that may come from any day, not just a day where we experience loss or gain or self-awareness or enjoyment. But any day carries with it the possibility that some good may come when the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. So my suggestion, starting tomorrow, that upon arising, you remember that ancient greeting and response, the Lord is risen. It happened because of betrayal. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed for you. And because that's true, some good may come from this. Amen.